Hello, I'm going to do a video today on my methods for saving money grocery shopping. That's something that I had mentioned a while back. I had shared that last month I fed my family of four, sometimes five, for $197. And we try to eat a mostly whole foods diet. That does not mean that we don't eat processed foods, and it's not a huge deal to us either way. But I do try to stick to those, and that can be difficult to do on a budget without, you know, some methodology. So we're going to talk about that. Also, I do not coupon or anything like that, unless, you know, on rare occasion I find one that is for something I'm going to buy anyway, or something that we would really use or eat. And let's see, I'm in my basement because it's nighttime and my children are sleeping. I don't want to wake them up. My husband is gone at a men's group type of a thing, so I'm taking the evening and doing this. All right, so I have 12 things that I try to do. This is just my method of trying to stick to a frugal grocery budget. Number one is stick to inexpensive staples. Excuse me, rice, potatoes, eggs, beans, things like that. So again, these are all whole foods, it's real food, and they're all very versatile. So if you think about rice, that's something you can put in a lot of different dishes. Eggs, there are so many different ways to eat eggs. Same for beans, for that matter. Rice and beans does not need to be a, you know, one size fits all. You can do a lot of different things with them, make them delicious. And of course, potatoes too. Potatoes you can use in so many different ways. Number two, buy in bulk. So even though I don't have a family of 12 people, I do try to buy as much as I can in bulk. So for example, I get my rice in 20-pound bags usually, and that's something that I know that we will use. So if it's, you know, you can always throw something in the refrigerator or the freezer too, if necessary, if it's something you know you're going to use up or you'll force yourself to use up somehow. So buying in bulk. Number three, shop in season and buy what happens to be on sale. Stock up. So shopping in season, especially for fruits and vegetables, is not too hard. You could probably Google a kind of a list of what fruits and veggies are in season for your area at each particular time of year. I'm not totally crazy about sticking to that rule, but it is helpful because when something's out of season, it's going to cost more. That's just how it is. Buy what happens to be on sale, so that kind of goes without saying. For example, last month, when I was at Aldi, I found these 2-pound bags of frozen chopped broccoli for $1.89, I believe, which is really good for a 2-pound bag, and I used them in so many different things. So I'll put broccoli in, you know, stir fry, fried rice, various casseroles. You can steam it and serve it alongside, you know, a chicken teriyaki or something. So I got lots of that. And it goes in the freezer, so saving money there. Number four, Benton Dent stores. This is not the official term, at least I don't think. I don't think if you Google that you would find anything. But basically, discount grocery stores for buying food that is being sold at a discount because the cans are dented or the box was slightly crushed or something. The food is still perfectly edible, nothing's been broken into, or past the expiration date for that matter. So these stores are awesome, and there's one in our area. There's not one around everyone, but it's always worth looking, checking around, asking people in your area, because you can get huge discounts that way. So I try to buy a lot at ours. they don't usually, at least in my experience, have a lot of fresh foods or meat, but you know, oats, rice, flour, canned vegetables, beans, things like that, they'll usually have a lot of. Number five, stretch meat and use inexpensive versions. So when I say to stretch meat, I'll roast a whole chicken and we'll have it for dinner along with some roast veggies or something like that on the side. And then I will cut off and save the rest of the meat to put in fried rice or some other meal for a different night. And then I'll take the bones and make bone broth in my crock pot. So I'm effectively getting more than three meals out of that chicken, because that bone broth is going to be used to make rice, it's going to be used to make chicken noodle soup, and various other things. I'll probably do another video on bone broth some other time, but, you know, we don't always stretch meat. There's time for a good steak or a good chunk of meat, but for your average day, I like to make sure that there's some meat in each dinner, but it doesn't have to be a huge amount. You can make it stretch if you have the right recipe. And then, of course, the kind of meat that you use. You know, it's cheaper to buy ground turkey than ground beef, for example. Not that we don't ever buy ground beef, but, you know, pork is going to be less expensive than beef. Things like that. So, kind of a rule of, you know, we have our normal meats, and then we have our meat that we serve more rarely. I was going to say our rare meat, but Okay. Number six, never let anything edible go to waste. So, just as a penny saved is a penny earned, food that you save and use is food that you don't have to buy and spend more money on. So, if I make oatmeal in the morning and my children don't eat all of it or much of it, I will often end up having it with my lunch or for lunch, which, you know, it doesn't bother me at all. It's good food and might as well use it up. So things like that. Making sure that I try to portion my children's food so that we don't have a lot of leftovers. I don't want to be throwing food away. If they don't eat something, it doesn't mean that it has to be put in the chicken bucket and sent out to the chicken coop or in the trash. It can be saved. But, you know, just eliminating waste. Making sure that you use everything that you have. Number seven, if you're going to buy organic, know when it's worth it and when it isn't as much. So there's a wide array of opinions on this, of course. I don't know anybody who can afford to buy all organic everything, which is highly unfortunate, because all organic means is that you have not added pesticides and chemicals and other nonsense to your food. But it's expensive to get certified, and there's a lot of other stuff that goes into that. But there are some things that are better to buy, or that we really should buy organic, or it would be good to buy organic if you could, and other things that it's not as worth it because there isn't a whole lot of it. There aren't a lot of added chemicals anyway. So you've heard of the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, probably. There are certain, you know, the Dirty Dozen are the top dirtiest or most pesticide-ridden vegetables and fruits, and the Clean 15 are the cleanest. So, you know, that can help. I just won't spend any more time on that one. Number eight, make your own bread, tortillas, biscuits, things like that. It's not as intimidating as it may sound. If you've never made bread before, then it can sound kind of crazy. but it really is not difficult. And I might do another video on that. My recipe is a no-knead recipe too, so you're not kneading it for ages either, and that simplifies the process. Tortillas are actually very easy to make from scratch, and they taste so much better, and they're cheaper. Same for biscuits, same for cornbread, muffins, pancake, or obviously pancakes, whatever. Bread is just one of those things that is much cheaper to make, assuming that you're not buying terrible bread from the store. Trying to remember the, you know, classic brand of, oh, I feel like it had Miracle in the name. Or Wonder Bread. Okay, is that around anymore? I don't know. But to buy bread that's good, that isn't full of all sorts of nonsense, is really expensive. Way too expensive for us anyway. So I try to make our own. Number 9, make as much as you can from scratch. Again, this kind of goes with the previous point, but in regards to everything else too. If you think about it, you can make anything from scratch. It's just about which things are worth it and which things aren't. Some things are more time consuming, some things cost more to make from scratch. So if that's the case, you're not really saving money by making them at home. You might as well buy them. So it takes pricing things out and also weighing what your time is worth to you. That's an individual decision that you have to make. As a little side note to that, if you're trying to eat healthier, trying to cut sugar out of your diet or something like that, having a rule for your home, like if we don't make it, we don't eat it, is helpful as well. Because number one, you won't be buying all sorts of sugary stuff from the store. It kind of eliminates candy. Number two, what you are making is going to be better for you than what you would buy in the store, say a pan of homemade brownies from scratch as opposed to a box brownie mix or brownies you get from the bakery. And then also, because it takes more effort to make a batch of cookies or a pan of brownies or whatever, you'll probably do it less often than if you were buying it. So that can be a helpful rule. Number 10, use inexpensive substitutes. So usually in baking recipes like bread, cookies, whatever, you want to stick to the measurements and stick to what the recipe says. I get that. But when you're cooking, substituting, say, a less expensive vegetable for a more expensive vegetable can be really helpful. Usually there's no appreciable difference between, say, you know, broccoli and, I don't know what, asparagus. I wasn't really prepared for that one. But, you know, substitute and change things up and try things and just see what you like, and you don't always have to follow the recipe on every little thing. Number 11 is meal plan, and this goes hand in hand with not wasting food. So, I mean, everybody, we all have had the unfortunate, the misfortune of opening our refrigerator and realizing there's something in there in the bottom shelf for the crisper that we didn't remember was in there and it went bad, or leftovers that we didn't use. So meal planning eliminates that pretty much. I am not a crazy meal planner. I am not a planner at heart. I was not born an organized person, but I have found the value of meal planning, because first of all, when you go to the store, you know exactly what you need to get to make exactly the meals that you're making for that week. So you're not buying any more than you need. So you're not going to have anything extra that will go to waste or that you're scrambling to use up. And then also, because you know what you're having for each meal, you're more likely to make what you need for that meal rather than having tons of leftovers. Or sometimes you can plan to make too much and have leftovers and then use it for lunch the next day or a meal later in the week. But just that planning aspect really helps to eliminate waste. Number 12, so last one on the list, is pantry shop first. And always have a list and stick to your list. So to pantry shop first means before you leave the house to go grocery shopping, go to your cupboards, your refrigerator, your freezer, and look at what you have there and make sure that you take stock of what's there and that you incorporate that into your shopping list. I would say even before you meal plan. So if you find out, oh, I have 4 bags of beans from when I stocked up because they were on sale, you can plan a few meals around those beans. So just using what you have. They may not, if you have extras of something, they may not make a meal on their own, but then when you go to the store, you can get whatever you need to make it a full meal, and then you end up using what you have. So then, yeah, always sticking to the list is, we all know that we're supposed to do that. You don't go shopping hungry, that whole thing. Just get what's on your list, unless it's something that's on sale, like I said, and you know you'll use it. And then I also wanted to add, more importantly, seek out your husband's opinion, not mine. So my husband really appreciates frugality, and he would rather eat less gourmet meals if it means saving money. Your husband may not be that way at all. So if he really loves more intricate meals, or he wants steak every night or something, and you're penny pinching for all you're worth, it might not be as much of a blessing to him. So again, we're all different. Our families have different values, or different ways that we prioritize our money, I guess. And so I wanted to leave that final thought. Don't just go with what I say, obviously. I know what's important to your husband. Every husband is different, and every family's different. Okay, so I hope this has been helpful in some way or another. I've gone really long, so I'm gonna get going. Good night.